Good day, everyone. This is Brenda speaking. Welcome to SSR2 Review Team Plenary Number 79 on the 7th of August, 2019 at 1400 UTC. Attending the call today is Alang, Ram, Denise, Denko, Norm, Eric, Kaveh, Russ, and Lauren. Apologies from Navid. We have attending from ICANN.org is Jennifer, Nagar, Steve, and Brenda. Technical writer Heather has joined. Today's call is being recorded. I'd like you to please state your name. Speaker, Russ, I'll turn it over to you. Thank you.
Hi. So agenda that was sent out says that the first thing we're going to do is a welcome and roll call done, and then the next thing is we're going to discuss the recommendations from the sub-team that's been working on compliance. So I don't know who's planning to lead that discussion.
Well, this is Denise. I'll start it off.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Hi, Russ. So this is Denise. We have a group of sub-team members who have been working together on a large bucket of issues and recommendations that we've sort of grouped under abuse mitigation and compliance-related items. Those SSR two team members include Carrie Ann, Casey, Scott, myself, Eric, Norm, and Lauren. While we much of this text the team members have seen before, some of it is new. We working around work and vacation commitments, we'll be able to get our subgroup together on finalizing draft text to send to the team. I think we're fairly close to that. But in advance of all of the recommendation text, we wanted to outline the approach that the sub-team is taking, the key areas of focus, and highlight a couple of the new recommendations that that the group is working on. So I'll give you an overview of the sort of an outline of the findings and recommendations that we're working on. Norm will discuss the sort of findings that focus on the world SSR threat, which lays the foundation for these recommendations. And you all have that draft text in your inbox. Then hopefully Carrie Ann will be on to address a recommendation relating to DNS abuse definition and incorporation of the Council of Europe's Convention on Cybercrime definitions, and Lauren will discuss a recommendation on establishing a single complaint portal. So to briefly review the approach that this group is taking, we have a draft text that Norm will discuss that provide the general context and findings for these recommendations, focusing on the main threat vectors. Then we have draft text that addresses sort of the gap between what ICANN has done thus far and this threat, highlighting abuse in new GTLDs, issues relating to the registrar accreditation agreement and the base registry agreement, noting activities and recommendations relevant from the SAC, Security and Stability Advisory Committee, and also the GAC, the Governmental Advisory Committee, and other key stakeholders. We also touch on relevant recommendations from the community reviews, including the CCT review, competition, consumer choice, and trust review recommendations that are relevant to this area, and the RDS review team recommendations. We also touch on DAR, the abuse data project, and of course activities that have been undertaken and issues related to the ICANN compliance efforts. Those are the two key areas of findings that we have in the draft text. And then our draft recommendations fall into three areas. The first area is compliance. The recommendation there focuses on some changes that we propose to recommend relating to ICANN's compliance regime, empowering the compliance activities of ICANN and changing the approach. The second group of recommendations fall under sort of abuse definitions and reporting, recommendations around overhauling ICANN's approach to DNS abuse definitions, tracking, and reporting. And in this bucket are recommendations that the CCT review sent to the board that is in line with SSR2's work, recommending actions around abuse definitions that Carrie Ann will outline for the group. Establishing a complaint portal, which Lauren will review, and recommendations around improving complaint reporting and security of threat reporting. The third bucket of recommendations are under policy and agreements with contracted parties, focusing on meaningfully impacting abuse mitigation and mitigation of security threats. These include updating key policies and practices, incentivizing contracted parties to mitigate abuse and security threats, incorporating measures to mitigate abuse in agreements with contracted parties, and then institutionalizing training and certifications for contracted parties and key stakeholders to help mitigate abuse. So those are the key areas of recommendations. And with that, I'll turn it over to Norm to discuss the findings related to the SSR threat. Norm?
Hey. Okay, I hope people have had a chance to review the document, or at least pull it up now to have a look, see at it. That was on the included on the email that went out for the agenda for this meeting. There it is. Thank you very much. So through our discussions, one of the things we found in our sub team quite a bit is that, you know, we kind of live and breathe abuse and mitigation and stuff, and we just kind of take a lot of things probably for granted. We just assume other people know that. And through, you know, some of the discussions, what was missing on this is basically characterizing the state of the world right now as far as domain name abuse goes. So this is an attempt to clarify that at not too high of a level, not too low of a level. So, you know, just kind of at the right spot, but also including citations to back up the points being made. So if you scroll down, I think to page 2, that's where I'm right now on the screen, there's different types of abuse which covers a large range of things. Too often we just use the phrase abuse, then everyone interprets that their own way. Certainly at a higher level, it makes sense to talk that way, but when you get details that, you know, it doesn't always apply. And also if you want to counter any arguments, you know, that easy for them to throw out a detail and then no one can defend it. So, you know, breaking down the different types with citations, you can see them there. There's, you know, malware, digital certificate frauds that the EPWG can tell us about, a well-respected group. Phishing, again, EPWG, a very well-respected group in that area. We have to add the stats and the citations in, but this is just giving an idea of where we're heading. The business email compromise, you know, has been going on for quite a while. That is an area that affects not just businesses, but also it's of late, it's been affecting a lot of city governments as well. They've been a target for that. Some areas that, you know, what is abuse is abuse. I'd certainly say it is. Others may agree with that. But any scams using domain names. And then you have the notorious botnets. Spam is an area that some people will debate whether that's covered in abuse or not. I don't know whether it's up to us or not to determine whether it is part of abuse. I think that's up to the community to decide that. For now, we should probably include it because spam certainly is used to initiate abuse quite a bit. And also we need to talk about DDoS attacks as well. So we got some stats on those. We have to gather them, Bill.
So Norm, in Kobe, we got a briefing on the DNS espionage thing. What category do you think that falls into here, or do you think it's orthogonal?
I think that's orthogonal to what we typically call DNS abuse. That was a
It was very targeted, that's for sure. But I was thinking that some of the business email compromise things have been quite targeted as well.
Yeah, good point. Hey, yeah. In here as well. Hey, so that's an attack.
I think that's actually in there. I think that's in the document. It's under a different section. There's something about ICANN and multi-factor authentication and pushing for the need for that, et cetera. So it's in there, I believe. I'm on my phone and so I can't see where in the document, but I believe it's covered in there. I think DNS espionage is not, I think it's not the 2019, you know, candidate USG domain name concern, et cetera, and how the response was. I think it's in there.
Could we mute the line, please?
Okay. Thank you. So I think that Eric and Russ, I kind of agree with both of you. And I think that it's worth mentioning here, at least to cross-reference if it is in another place. Because the purpose of this, you know, is really to highlight, you know, the problem. And that kind of lays the foundation for the recommendations and the actions and the further discussion that we're going to have. So I think that's worthwhile. Okay, so through some of our discussions and some of our own investigations, there's kind of two broad areas that that need addressing in order to handle the abuse problem. One being the contracts themselves. Contracts actually, in some cases, prevent people from taking action, which is kind of not their intent. And in turn, those prevent compliance from doing anything because they actually have to follow contractual compliance. So they are bound to that contract. They can't step outside of it. Contracts being the registry contract, the registrar contract, and the registrant contract is three of them. I think we need to keep the focus at that higher level, and the recommendations fall out from there. The one thing that we need to the one area where there has been some improvement would be in the DAR, and it's worthwhile noting that DAR is a step in the right direction, but yet again that seems to be limited, and it's like the grasshopper jumping up and hitting the lid of a jar where it just can't get out of its own way right now to be really more effective. So I think that kind of covers the broad scope on that. You can read the document. Please do so, because I think this will be a fairly substantial point of discussion for the community. Comments, questions?
Thanks, Darn. If there are no questions, then we'll move on to the recommendation that we wanted to highlight around DNS abuse definitions. And I don't know if Carrie Ann was going to walk through that. Carrie Ann, has she been able to join the call?
This is Jennifer. Carrie Ann actually sent her apologies for this call.
Okay. Okay. I'll walk through that then. So the a draft recommendation under discussion by the subgroup is suggesting that we augment the current definition of DNS abuse that has been in place for some time and vetted by the community. It was also highlighted in the CCT reviews and in report as well. And the recommendation is suggesting that in addition to augment that DNS abuse definition, that ICANN should also use the Council of Europe's Convention on Cybercrime definitions as a reference and a resource for identifying security threats that we should recognize as threats, and that this external treaty organization recognizes as criminal acts. The Convention on Cybercrime is, of course, very longstanding and well used. The convention is active and ongoing effort, as I noted, treaty based. What we find particularly useful about this is that it pulls in the crimes and security threats, particularly those tied to domain names. It employs a threat taxonomy that experts have developed and has been rigorously used, augmenting the DNS abuse definition with the convention's definition allows ICANN to not only rely on internationally recognized expert work in this area, But the convention has a process whereby they continue, on an ongoing basis, reevaluate and add to and update the security threats that are addressed in the convention. So much like ICANN relies on the UN's list to define what countries and territories are, relying on the internationally recognized expertise of the UN in that area, we think a similar approach would really benefit ICANN in relying on an external, internationally recognized group to augment and to keep up to date ICANN's own DNS abuse definitions and security threat definitions. So the recommendation that we're working on would bring that into practice within ICANN. So when the subgroup has agreed on the recommendations text, this bundle will be shared with the full review team and dropped into the Google Doc. That's it for that recommendation. Unless there's any questions, Lauren can highlight the recommendation regarding a single complaint portal.
Hi everyone, this is Lauren. So I'm not hearing questions, so I'll just go ahead.
Lauren, Alan actually has his hand raised.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm on phone only, so I can't see.
Okay. So, I want to ask clarification on two things. The first one is the last item on the screen under the point three to institutionalize training and certification for contracted parties and key stakeholders. Can you elaborate a little bit on what are you advising here? Because I didn't get it correctly. I don't know if I miss part of the explanation. But can you please explain again? Because I'm having difficulty accepting this in the context of ICANN doing this kind of certification for contracted parties. So I would like to understand more about that.
Yeah, thanks for the question, Alan. The subgroup isn't done with that draft recommendation. It's still under discussion, so we don't have specifics to discuss at this point, but we'll be coming back to the list, I think, fairly shortly. Thanks.
And hello? Hello?
We hear you.
Yes.
Okay, I also have another point about the CCT reviews recommendation. So I seem to be slow these days, but maybe staff can tell me. So have the recommendation for all the recommendations from the CCT review been accepted by ICANN board?
This is Russ. That's a very long discussion. The board put them in three buckets, none of which are scheduled for implementation yet, but some of which are being investigated. And some of them were not for board action, but for community action, and those were just forwarded to the community to decide whether they want to act on.
Okay.
If there are no further questions, then I think Lauren, we'll turn it over to you.
Okay, this is Lauren again. Hi, everybody. So I won't kind of talk you through exactly what's on the page because you can read that yourself. I'll try to give some context to this. So essentially right now, as we know, right, there is no kind of centralized system. You have to know where to go. You might report something. You don't see what's going on. Furthermore, there are interesting effects that would come from having a centralized system. So essentially the idea for that one is that there is like a centralized system, which I mean essentially is a website, I don't know, complaints.icann.org. You can go and you can send abuse complaints and into the centralized system. The system can automatically forward these to relevant contracted parties. And should nothing happen at, say, a registrar level, it would after some time then go up to the next level. Why is this important, or why did we think this is a good idea and something to recommend? Essentially, it makes it simple for people who want to report abuse. Again, as Noel mentioned before, there are a lot of people who are not in this ecosystem and who would struggle finding out how it works. Even if you are in this ecosystem, it's obviously much easier to do this centralized. That's one aspect. The next aspect is that we're imagining essentially metadata to flow up through the system, which means that if I'm a contracted party, I get forwarded this abuse complaint, I treat or deal with it as I see fit. And the only thing that kind of comes back is something along the lines where I say, okay, this was spurious complaint. This is not relevant. We did not act on it because not appropriate. That would go back up. Or it would be, okay, yes, this was clearly something abusive. We shut it down. And what that allows the ICANN community and ICANN.org to see is, who is actually responding to abuse complaints and how quickly and in what way. So, and that then allows A to see, okay, what's going on, kind of going into the direction of collecting data, having visibility on what's going on in the system, which we kind of have elsewhere. But, and then obviously that allows, say, if someone is hit with a lot of complaints, you can then see, okay, are they, you know, just being bad by not responding, or what are their responses, right? What would not happen according to the current recommendation is that detailed information would be reported by the system. And the reason for that is that we feel that this would probably, you know, a lot of contracted parties wouldn't like that, but we see less of a problem with having, you know, a very kind of data sparse system that still kind of allows some insight. And then obviously if, say, one contracted party looks off, you can then always go in and see what's going on, or they can see, oh, why are we so different from everybody else? Let's investigate that. So that's essentially this one, meant to simplify how things work, meant to automate a kind of, how can I say, like an automated escalation, as well as some data on what's actually going on, because the also clauses in the contracts right now on abuse handling are not particularly useful, as we've seen in multiple cases in the past few years. That's more or less it. Thank you.
So, Lauren, I'm just trying to figure out how this doesn't just become a big place where all the abuse reports get collected. Is there some vetting before they become public? Is this, I think that a whole bunch of process needs to be put around this. Maybe that requires community discussion. I don't know. But it would not be good if this just became a repository of everybody's complaint.
Harris, so the idea is not for that to actually become public, simply because there is no way without human oversight, at least not right now, to kind of throw out all types of, let's call them abuse complaints. So the idea is more that this is just kind of an input system that then forwards it according to set rules, and then kind of waits for a set amount of time. And if nothing comes back from that party, then goes up to the next level, for example, registrar to registry. So the idea is not to make this kind of a data behemoth, because we all know that this can be also a big issue. I feel this will need at least some level of community discussion, but at the same time, it should simplify the system considerably, and would allow at least some insight, as I said, into kind of what's going on. But again, the idea is not to essentially have ICANN collect all abuse complaints and have insight, because this would likely cause a lot of issues with contracted parties, and likely for understandable reasons, at least in some cases.
I guess you've said it twice, that this provides insight, and I guess that's where I'm getting confused. Insight to whom, if it's not the community?
So it does provide insight to the community, but not to the specific content of an abuse complaint. So, for example, what would happen is I report a malware domain, let's say this is abuse. This goes to the registrar. The registrar looks at it, confirms, takes action. And what then flows back is just saying, well, there was an abuse complaint. And within 5 days, the registrar replied, yes, we confirmed, was abuse, took action. That's it. But unlike now, you do at least have that very high level overview of what's going on, plus a simplified way of reporting this in comparison to now.
No, I understood and appreciate the simplified way of reporting it. Thank you for summarizing how this is going to provide insight. Do others have questions? Okay, so when does the sub-team think they will have recommendation text and then findings text?
So this is Lauren speaking. This is obviously my own perspective on this. So we wanted to bring to the team's attention what we've been doing. We had a few, but not many questions. So at least from my perspective, we should probably have one more call, maybe one more edit pass before we can provide pretty final text, because there were no major changes requested or major questions, but more clarifications, and we will kind of make sure that the text reflects that. There are already quite a lot of things in our document, like findings as well, which probably also just need another pass. So at least from my perspective, we should be able to have something final very soon. Not sure who else is on the call, who is on the sub-team apart from the ones who spoke, but yeah, that's my perspective.
Yeah, I would agree. It's just been a couple of weeks, I hope. But of course, we have a lot of busy volunteers, so it'll be dependent on getting a final agreement on the text.
Yeah, this is Norm. I would really appreciate if others could either lend support or have questions or something. Show me anger, show me pain, show me something, because, you know, this is going to be, I think it'll get a lot of attention within the community when we do the draft report. So, I'd like to know where everyone stands on it. Not saying you have to do that now, but, you know, send an email, do something, please.
Norm, I think you're going in a good direction. Okay, I'm not hearing any other comments right now. Are there hands?
There are no hands.
Okay, so let's... We had an email about people updating their recommendations text in the Google Doc. A bunch of people had signed up to have it done by today. Other people had signed up to have it done a week from today, and there's still a couple blank slots. Please, the pen holder for each and every recommendation, make sure that you're not one of the blank spots, and fill in with when you can have that done. Is there any other business we need to talk about today? Not hearing any, and assuming somebody would have spoken if there was hands, then can we review the action items?
Thanks. This is Jennifer. So a couple of action items, first being that the team members should review the text that was discussed on the call today and share feedback in one form or another to the team on the text that was discussed, and then team members to complete their assignments based on their pen holder list that was circulated to the email last week, and we'll recirculate that for the draft recommendations text. And that's all that I captured. Let me know if I missed anything. Thanks.
Sounds right to me. Okay, thank you. I think we're done then.
Thank you all.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, bye.